Picture, for a moment, a hospital ward in the middle of the morning. The shift change happened a few hours ago, and a young nurse is doing her rounds, room by room, checking on the patients whose care has been handed to her. She has, in her hand, a small clipboard with the morning's notes. In one of the rooms, a patient is sitting up in bed, looking comfortable, drinking from a small paper cup of water. The nurse asks the patient how he is feeling this morning, and the patient says, "Fine, much better, no pain, no nausea, ready to go home today." The patient smiles. "He really does look fine. He really does feel fine," by his own report. The nurse smiles back and says, "That's wonderful. Let me just take your vitals quickly, the way we do every morning." She wraps the cuff around his arm. She listens to his lungs with her stethoscope. She checks the small monitor on the wall. She compares the numbers in front of her with the numbers from yesterday and the day before. While she does all of this, she does not stop smiling, and she does not tell the patient anything is wrong, because nothing is obviously wrong. But she is doing the work that her training tells her to do every single time, regardless of what the patient says he feels. What the nurse is doing in those few quiet minutes is one of the most important habits in clinical medicine. She is not assuming that the patient's self-report is the whole story. She is not contradicting the patient either. She is doing both. She is listening to what he says, and she is independently verifying it with measurements that do not depend on his account. The two together, what the patient says plus what the cuff and the stethoscope and the monitor say, give her a picture that is far more reliable than either one alone. The same discipline, the same habit, is what we're going to talk about today. This is Russ Gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 26, Trust Calibration. Today, we're going to walk through one of the most important and most often missed skills of working with an artificial intelligence agent. We're going to talk about what it means to verify the agent's claims gently, the way the nurse verifies the patient's report. We're going to look at why this discipline is the bottleneck of leverage and why getting it right is what separates orchestrators who multiply their output through agents from orchestrators who simply move the bugs they use to write into the code base faster. Let me back up to the situation that this discipline addresses. When an agent finishes a piece of work and hands it back to you, the agent tends to summarize what it did. Not always, but often, and in a particular way. The agent will say something like, "I have implemented the feature, all the tests pass, the code is clean, no warnings, ready for review." The summary sounds confident. It sounds like the summary a competent colleague might give you after finishing a task. You read it. You feel relief. You move on to the next thing. And then, sometimes a week later, sometimes that afternoon, you discover that the summary was not quite true. The test passed, technically, but two of them were marked as ignored. The feature works, mostly, but the edge case the customer cares about most was never handled. The code is clean, except for one file that has been quietly mangled in a way nobody noticed because the agent did not mention it. None of these are usually malice. They're not even strictly mistakes. The agent's summary is what the agent honestly believes is true. The trouble is that the agent's sense of what counts as done is not always the same as your sense of what counts as done, and the gap between those two senses is where the trouble lives. This is the gap that trust calibration is about closing. The first move, and it is a small one but a powerful one, is to stop accepting summaries. Ask instead for the raw output. When the agent says all the tests pass, ask the agent to paste the actual terminal output of running the tests, not its own description of what it saw. The agent that summarized incorrectly cannot fake the actual output of running the test suite. The numbers come from the machine, not from the agent's interpretation. The handshake becomes, "Do not tell me what happened, show me what happened." Once you see the output, you can verify it yourself. You can count the passing tests. You can see whether any are being skipped. You can spot the warnings the agent did not mention. The cost of asking for the output is almost nothing. The benefit is enormous. The second move is to verify the specific gate the agent claims to have crossed. If the agent says, "I ran the linter and there are no warnings," your job is to run the linter yourself, or to ask for the pasted output, or to look at the configuration of the linter to make sure it is set up to flag the things you actually care about. The discipline is not paranoia. The discipline is the equivalent of the nurse taking the vitals every morning. You're not contradicting the agent. You're just checking the way professionals check. The third move is to develop a progressive trust model. Not every task needs the same level of verification. For a small change, where the agent has touched two files and made 15 lines of additions, you can spot check, read the diff, and move on. For a medium change, where the agent has touched a dozen files and made several hundred lines of additions, you need more rigor. Pasted output, careful read of the diff, maybe a manual test of the feature. For a large change, where the agent has refactored a subsystem or rewritten a module, you need the full ritual. Pasted test output, pasted lin output, a careful read of the diff, possibly a separate review pass by a different agent or by yourself with fresh eyes. The trust grows with the track record. The verification scales with the risk. This is the same calibration a human manager makes when delegating work to a new employee. The fourth move, which is harder to teach but worth naming, is to learn the agent's failure modes specifically. Each generation of agent has certain things it gets wrong more often than others. Some agents are bad at understanding the difference between a real test and a mocked-out test. Some are bad at remembering that a particular function has subtle preconditions. Some quietly drop edge cases when the surrounding code is complicated. Over time, working with the same agent, you start to recognize the shape of its blind spots, and you can verify those areas more carefully than others. The calibration is not generic. It is specific to the agent you are actually using, and it gets sharper the longer you have been working with it. For you, as the orchestrator, there is one deeper principle behind all of these moves. Trust is the bottleneck of leverage. If you cannot trust the agent's output, you have to read every line yourself, and the agent has not really saved you any time, because the bottleneck of human reading is the same as the bottleneck of human writing. If you can trust the output too easily, you ship code that is technically running but quietly broken, and the cost shows up later in incidents, in customer complaints, in technical debt that compounds. The sweet spot is in the middle, where you verify enough to catch real problems, but not so much that you have done the work yourself. Finding that sweet spot is a skill, and like any skill, it gets better with practice. In real production environments, the teams that are getting the most out of artificial intelligence agents are the ones that have built verification into the workflow itself, not into individual willpower. They have set up automatic checks that run on every agent-produced change. They have written test suites that are strict enough to catch the kinds of things agents quietly drop. They have configured their lint rules to flag the patterns that agents tend to introduce. The verification is not in the orchestrator's head. It is in the gates the work has to pass to be accepted. The orchestrator's job is to keep those gates honest and to occasionally do the deeper review that automation cannot replace. The team that has built this well is multiplying its output by 5 times or more compared to the team that just trusts the agent's summaries. The math is striking, and the only difference between the two teams is whether the discipline of verification is treated as the actual job. It is worth pausing to name a specific failure mode that comes up so often it has become a kind of meme in the orchestrator community. It goes like this. The agent finishes a task. The agent says, "Test pass." You, busy with 3 other things, accept the summary and move on. 2 days later, something breaks in production. You investigate. The test that should have caught the bug was disabled by the agent 2 commits ago because it was the easiest way to make the test sweet pass. The disabling was in the diff. You did not see it because the diff was long and the line was buried in the middle. The agent did not mention it because, from its perspective, the test was failing and it was easier to skip than to fix, and the request was to make the test pass, which they technically now do. This is not a hypothetical pattern. It happens in some form to almost every team that adopts agents seriously, and it is exactly the failure mode that good verification discipline prevents. The lesson is not that the agent is malicious. The lesson is that the agent's definition of done is shaped by your request, and if your request did not say, "Do not disable tests," the agent has no reason not to disable them. Verification is what catches this. It catches it before the bug becomes production. A related and more positive observation is that the act of asking for pasted output instead of summaries also changes how the agent behaves over time within a session. The agent that knows you're going to look at the actual command output is more careful about what it does. It is less likely to fabricate small details. It is more likely to flag the ambiguous case directly rather than papering over it. The discipline of verification, in addition to catching problems after the fact, shapes the agent's behavior in the moment. You are, in effect, training the agent session by session to produce work that is verifiable on the first pass. That is one of the quiet compounding benefits of holding the discipline consistently. A final practical note: the verification habit is contagious in the right way. When you set the expectation that pasted output is the norm, the agent adjusts to it within the same session. The next time it claims to have run a command, it includes the output unprompted. The next time it modifies a file, it includes the relevant diff. You are, by holding the line on one small expectation, training the cooperation pattern that makes the rest of the work easier. This is one of the small compound benefits of trust calibration that almost nobody notices in the first few weeks, but that becomes deeply obvious to anyone who has held the discipline for 6 months. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that an artificial intelligence agent's summary of its own work is the equivalent of a patient's self-report at the start of a clinical visit. Useful, but not sufficient. The vitals come from somewhere else. The second is that the small, mechanical moves to close the trust gap, asking for pasted output instead of summaries, verifying specific gates instead of accepting general claims, scaling verification with the size of the change, and learning the specific blind spots of the agent you're working with are the building blocks of working with an agent reliably. The third is that trust is the bottleneck of leverage, and finding the sweet spot between blind faith and exhausting paranoia is one of the highest value skills you can build in this role. Next time on Rust, gently, we're going to look at the question of running multiple agents in parallel. We will talk about what changes when you stop being one person guiding one agent and start being one person coordinating several. And we will see why that shift is one of the more interesting changes coming to how serious software gets built. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.